Hello everybody and welcome to Badhead Harry. And we're talking about Bruce Willis and Chaffa. Have you ever heard that before?
No.
Have I told you about it before?
You just told me about it just now.
Kevin says that when they did Cop Out.
Kevin says what?
When they did Cop Out, Bruce would pretty much do the directing for him and would leave out parts of the script and just wouldn't do the lines as written. I mean, it's not not so much improvisation as just doing sort of rewriting the script on the fly. And he said that the scene doesn't need, according to Bruce, was just chaffa. It's just chaffa, man. Just leave it out. So that was Kevin's experience filming with Bruce Willis.
So now I get why, because we know Kev doesn't like when you stray from his, you know.
He was like that. He says he was like that, but he changed. He loosened up, and it was pretty much making Zach and Miriam make a porno, I think. Because he had Rogan. And when you have a guy like that who's pretty good at being able to improvise, he actually let him do it. So he sort of became less precious about his writing. And let the guys kind of, let them act.
I think that little mention of using the word precious would get Kevin's goat.
Why? You would have said that. I think I pretty much quoted him.
Yeah. Okay. Oh well. But because, I mean, you saw what he said in basically what he put down on paper in Clerks 2 when he made fun of the...
Oh no. Wow. Look, the word means something other than Gollum's ring. Or whose ring? Who made the... Sauron's ring.
Sauron's ring, yeah.
Who had it? Who is the guy who had it on his finger when they chopped it off? Isildur.
Isildur, yeah. Isildur. Something with it. Something.
That's a pretty badass scene, right? Where Agent Smith is yelling at Isildur.
He will forever be Agent Smith, won't
he? And he's like, fuck you, I'm keeping it. You're not going to take my bling.
Yeah.
I begin. Tell us what we're talking about today.
must I begin?
Yeah.
Aren't we talking about music and film? But knowing you, that probably like slots everything in there, like the musicals, score, songs actually being used in movies for the effect of the movie, or just being background noise, or what is there? A parameter? What do you want?
I actually think we can exclude musicals. I think musicals deserve...
But you love them so much.
I do love musicals, which is why I think that they deserve their own podcast. And we will talk about it, which means I'm going to make you watch some musicals.
Only if you suck my dick afterwards.
Fuck you. But for the purposes of this podcast, I think we leave it at scores and songs.
Okay.
You know what? The last podcast that we recorded that I put up a few days ago was the Batman one. And even though we strayed far, we did actually manage to squeeze in something that sounded vaguely resembled a Batman review. And I like giving these podcasts creative titles. And for some reason, I didn't call it the Batpod. Isn't
what
that
now?
Right? It's like the obvious title, yeah, considering that we also spoke about the Batpod in the actual review. Didn't occur to me at the time. So I call this something else.
What though?
Something like the Dark Knight, sort of. This is like a lame title. I wasn't really
what
even trying.
What happened to you?
I don't know.
Were you off day or something?
The sun was in my eyes. I don't know what it was, but...
But getting back to music and film. You are a huge fan of Elizabeth Town, so I think we should start there.
That's your favorite movie.
No, it's not. I was drunk, like I've said many times before. Awesome songs in the film. The film itself sucked. I fell in love, got a Woody because of the songs, and I wouldn't mind shagging because and dance, and that's it. And the booze made me discombobulate me, and I ended up thinking it's a cool film, and I texted. You know I text when I'm drunk, so all of that things don't mean anything when I'm texting.
So it was the fact that the movie had the good songs for
awesome,
the most part.
Awesome songs on there.
I've seen that movie once and I was pretty disgusted by how...
It's bad acting.
This was when I would still be disgusted by movies, which I'm not so much anymore, I'm a bit more forgiving. That I didn't watch it again, and I certainly don't remember any
much.
Of the songs. I don't remember any
many
of the songs.
Songs.
So give me
I
some of the
really
songs.
I wasn't really watching because I can remember being, as you know, down in the dumps about some weird chick.
What?
That was one of those Depro Nights.
No, but
I was like dumb.
What's some of the music that was in there?
I can't even. It's like They had some Led Zepp on there and songs we like, man. I mean, I was like grooving to the music. I was like miserable as fuck, man. And listening to the film was on. I wasn't really watching, and I was listening to the music. I had the music on and I was drinking at the same time, and just like I just got into the songs, the vibe of it. And it's like, to what I clearly remember of the film is, it didn't feel much like a movie to me rather than a CD playing.
I was about to say, you could have just turned it off and put on a CD.
Dude, I was drunk. Cogitation was out the window.
So, whoops.
Your dick just fell off.
Oh, it's wood. Gets longer the more I lie. So in movies, there's definitely this thing where a song can fit a moment perfectly and work as part of the storytelling. You can definitely do that well and not so well and disastrously. So what is the mechanism for doing it well? When does it work and when doesn't it work? And I guess we're going to have to do this by example.
Okay.
I mean, what are cases of songs in movies that seem completely out of place? And I guess Elizabethtown is the thing that you brought up now, but you don't even remember a song.
No.
So can you think of an example? Okay. Or let me ask you this way. What is the best example of a song being used in a movie to obviously help the storytelling or something? Just a perfect moment. And the worst example of somebody attempting that.
Okay. The one that comes to mind.
And then maybe one that surprised you, like something that didn't seem like it should be there, but was and worked anyway.
The one that comes to mind immediately as for working really well, if I just could remember the song's name though, but I remember the movie clearly. It's A Story of Us. It's one song throughout the whole film, the whole movie, but they change the tempo, they change the instruments they use, and they vary it so that it fits. And it works for the whole fucking film.
It's The Story of Us, the Bruce Willis
movie. Yeah.
It's Pfeiffer?
The family and Pfeiffer, yeah. It's a fucking good film. I liked it. Or even though it's smarts in there and all that, but it's the real nitty-gritty of family life, you know. Of it's not all fucking roses. And the song just fucking works from beginning to end.
One song throughout
one
the movie.
One song.
Okay. And you used it as a sort of a score then.
Yeah. And it just, but it just, oh man, it was just like, it blew me away. I was like, wow, like.
Okay, but would you say in that instance then that it's a case that it's more of a score than
a
song in
a
movie?
Because it would add to the scenes where you hear it coming in, and it just like I said, it blew me away. I was like, right now I actually want to watch that movie again.
Okay.
For how good it is.
So how about a case of a song, just a song for a moment, rather than a song used throughout the movie? And I'll have to watch the movie to see what you're talking about.
Okay, the one that comes to mind, it doesn't this. It's part of a score, but you can almost call it a song for that scene. And I've been thinking about it this whole week.
Go on.
It's the Superman movie. The original one with Christopher Reeve, the first one, where he and Lois is flying. And she's speaking a voiceover, but they have the music going.
Yeah, okay. But
the scene itself is like, I felt it's unnecessary. But if that music wasn't there, that whole thing would have been dead.
But I mean, that's John Williams stuff, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'm talking about somebody using a song from popular music. I mean, let me define it that way then.
Okay.
Something from popular music.
Well, what I'm actually trying to do here is trying to get my mind going. I'm talking about other stuff, I'm trying to find one.
Shit, are you trying to get out of first before you?
Yeah.
Okay.
So you come up with something, because I'm right now, I'm in a rut.
I mean, there are a few that stand out to me, but I don't know whether they even meet the criterion that I've set down of something that forms part of the narrative. But definitely songs that was such a big part of the movie that it just kind of becomes part of the way that you remember the movie. When you think of the movie, you always think of the song. And Wayne's World was one. When they finished the taping of the first... I think the movie starts with them recording Wayne's show, their cable access, public access show. And then they get in the Mirthmobile. And they set off to Bohemian Rhapsody.
Yep.
And that's a scene that has been referenced and replicated many times in movies, and a scene that is thoroughly enjoyable. You watch it and you sing along and you headbang, and you've many people have emulated it in their cars.
Yeah.
So that's that. And that was one of the first that really grabbed me in that way. Just like, hey, the song, the movie.
And we've done it in the classroom.
I'm sure we have. But that's one. There are the most bizarre one I've ever seen is Reservoir Dogs. The scene where, how can you not remember this, man? When Michael Madsen is cutting off, like, or he's preparing to cut off the guy's ear.
I can remember.
And then he does cut it off. And he's dancing. And he looks happy. And he's doing what he wants to be doing. And he's having the best time of his life. And it's Steeler's wheel. It's stuck in the middle.
I just remembered one. American Psycho.
Go ahead, interrupt.
American Psycho.
Yeah, Huey Lewis. Huey Lewis in the News.
Oh.
Song is, what's the song?
Isn't Stuck on You? What is it? Wasn't it Stuck on You?
Shit, I don't know what this song is.
Fuck. I want to watch that movie again, man. It's a fucking... Why don't we...
But that's a similar... I don't own Psycho.
What the fuck's wrong with it?
I haven't seen Psycho and I haven't actually specifically looked for it. But it's a similar sort of thing. A completely psychotic behavior with a poppy song underneath. Works, right? It works amazingly well. As a contrast sort of way thing. But how about the more obvious example of a song that sort of says everything that is supposed to be going on with the people in the scene? I mean, we like contrast and incongruity because it works on screen. But how about the obvious example of the song that says everything that the moment is trying to convey? How about one of those?
Elvis singing "Love Me Tender" and what I'm.
How about a real example?
I honest to God can't think of one right now. Because what I'm thinking of right now is this. And I was hoping you would go there. But it's probably also in your head. One of our favorite films. Watchmen. The Nat King Cole song. Fight scene.
Yeah, but that again.
The comedian.
No, but
just, oh.
No, but now you're going. This is the exact opposite of what I was asking.
I know, but it's in here. I had to mention it. It's in here in my head.
That's another example of the... of the contrast of the incongruity.
Yeah, I know you don't want that.
It's a smooth, slow song while violence is happening on screen. Yeah. Pretty epic violence, yeah. Right? So this is the same as the Reservoir Dogs the other one?
American Psycho.
American Psycho.
But which one do you have in mind for?
But from the same movie, you have an excellent example of a song that tells the story for you. And it is pretty much... Okay, I maybe can't say the best opening I've ever seen, but it is one of the greatest openings to a movie ever. And that movie, where he tells you the story of the superheroes that went before the Watchmen, and does
credits.
It to Bob Dylan's "The Times They Are Changing."
Yeah, yeah.
It's absolutely perfect. Mm. Where the song tells the story for you, and of course, Zach's pictures, which are amazing. Yeah. Now that is a clear example.
What else is there? Because I'm still battling to find something. I'm thinking. I'm looking at my collection and I'm still thinking.
You were supposed to prepare for this topic. What the fuck are you doing? I suggested the topic. Then I had second thoughts and I said, okay, dude, I can't think of that many. Maybe we should pull out. And then you said, I'm bringing the big guns.
I had A game. I
roided it up. I am performance enhanced. I'm going to bring the thunder. Where the fuck is the thunder?
I had many ideas. I didn't lock it down and save as.
Jeez, you are a little bitch, man. Come on. What were you thinking of when you told me, no, this is a great idea. I can do this.
I had so much stuff. I should have at least put it on my fucking phone.
You didn't think it would be a good idea to, try and...
I figured I would remember this shit.
Fucking terrible. I'm going to fire you. Replace you with a monkey. Trained monkey. I'll just grind an organ and he'll outperform you.
Okay. Oh, but the monkey won't give us good dick as I, you know, so what are you going to do about that?
Stop it, dude. Nobody believes this. You're way out of my league. So, I'll give you an easier one. Great scores. This is much easier than the song example. What are the... Give me like a top five scores. Greatest scores.
Top five?
Yeah, sure, why not?
Superman, John Williams.
Okay. Why? Let's specifically because a new Superman movie is coming out next year. Now, different guys doing it, and he has to replace an iconic score. What makes that John Williams score so great?
Just that not just that it sounds good, it's almost like you can, when you listen to that, you feel it inside of it, like gets you going.
What the fuck?
That opening song, music.
I don't need fuzzy emotional type words. Tell me why. It's a great score.
I'm all about emotions, hard on the sleeve. I'm not like you. I'm not a rock. I can't like quantify stuff in down and put it down in numbers and things. I'm
being unable to articulate a thought properly. But try anyway.
And the fact that he can make the music fit for this and make the scene work.
You're not really saying anything, right? You know that. All you're saying using different words is, it's really good. It's a good score.
What more?
Try again. Give me a take two.
You talk and I'll copy what you're saying.
I was describing what Hans Zimmer, who's doing the Man of Steel score, has to do to somebody the other day, and I said that I don't think it's that difficult a task to replace what is an iconic score. I said musicians and composers especially try to do, sometimes you have to convey with your music fairly complicated themes or emotions.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think this is the case with Superman. I think Superman, because of the type of guy that he is, a Batman score has to be a fairly complicated thing,
which
because there are so many things that he has to go through. And okay, this might be true for Superman, but the Batman example is a more complicated one because the Rogues Gallery is also, they need music and they also have very distinct sort of quirks. With Superman, I think, and the thing that makes him a great superhero is his heroic nature.
Mm-hmm.
He is the most heroic of all superheroes. So I think if you're a composer, you just say to yourself, I'm going to compose the most heroic sounding music I possibly can, and that'll be Superman's theme. I think you start at that point.
Yeah.
And I think that's what John Williams' score is. I think it is, I really think that it is the most heroic music that he had in him, and he wrote that for Superman.
Okay, so my answer is what you said.
Yeah.
I second that.
You have to steal it because you don't have any thoughts of your own. I can't wait for that monkey to start outshining you. When I find that monkey, any monkey will do.
You
really
can't see what I'm doing to him. I'm not fucking him in the ass, but I'm giving
the
him the finger.
Even a bird would do a better job. I hear birds are pretty intelligent. I'll replace you with a crow. A Caledonian crow.
All I just heard now is mop, 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 mop.
Are you getting feedback on your mic?
No, it's your fucking chuffer that I'm hearing in my ears here, man.
Good one, chuffer. Okay, give me four more. And try to tell me something about those ones, other than they're just, they were great, good, excellent, and superb.
Okay, I can give you a bad example.
No, I don't want bad, I want good.
Want bad,
you can
good.
We can go to bad, but first good.
Okay. But isn't bad good?
No. When it comes to scoring a movie, bad is bad.
Now that also comes to when you're fucking, you're pretty bad at it. But
what? You don't know.
Let's see a good one. I'm thinking.
I have to ask you how you feel about the Lord of the Rings score, because it's a movie that you don't like as much as you really should, I think, because they are excellent. How do you feel about the Lord of the Rings? Howard Shore, in the last podcast, I think even we spoke about great composers, mm-hmm. and we mentioned Danny Elfman and Hans Zimmer. And Howard Shore shouldn't be left out, because I think Howard Shore is a very talented guy. So, how do you feel about that one?
Okay, I think my first watch of the film was tainted by the juvenile still in me of the fondness of the book. Right now I'm not as much.
Okay, but once you got to enjoying the movie, however much you ever enjoyed it.
I think the score really adds to the movie. It's very good.
Would you have wanted it to sound different other than that sort of Celtic feel?
It fits perfectly. I can't think of any other thing to
I think so too.
To add in there.
The score was one of my favorite parts of the movie.
Same here.
Especially the first one.
Yeah. And the fellas, I know you love Return of the King.
I think it's the best.
Yeah. But I also have a fond affection for the first one. I'm not much of a fan of Two Towers. But then again, the book was also a bit droll anyway, so.
Yeah, I think it slows down a lot in the middle chapter, but the what I felt watching, and I was in England at the time again. What I felt watching the Fellowship of the Ring was I that sort of pure joy at seeing a great story come to life that I didn't feel by the time that it had gotten to the third movie, which, while I think it was better, just what I felt, like I said, the pure joy of a geek seeing one of his favorite things come to life was much more intense with that first movie.
Jaws, the soundtrack.
Yeah, although there isn't much of a score.
Well, yeah,
as far as I can remember, I mean,
there isn't much, but it works like a motherfucker.
The theme for the shock is of course the thing that stands out. But I don't really remember, and this is, I don't watch that movie as much as I should. But I don't think of the score throughout the movie as a standout part of it.
But for the movie,
everything else.
But for the movie itself, we have much love for it. Much love, man.
But give me some more. Give me some great scores.
Also thinking now, what else?
I have no hesitation putting the last Batman movie in my top five.
I was about to say that you got him in.
I have never heard.
But the first one itself, dude. I mean, come on.
Yeah, but it was that overpowering nature of the score in the third movie, and it was all because of the situation. It was greater peril than had been presented in
before.
The other three, and in the other two rather, and. And it was a villain that was of that kind. Ra's al Ghul was not... he was menacing because of what he was trying to do.
Yep.
But
by himself.
The guy himself wasn't the sort of person that just draws the focus to himself. And the Joker was...
But
the Joker
Ra's al
was more...
It was all about being in the shadows. You know, he's a puppet
master
from
behind.
Sure,
right.
Yeah.
That's a good point. And the Joker was a... Like he says, he was an agent of chaos. So it had to be a sort of schizophrenic thing, and that never becomes overpowering and just a force the way that Bane was. Mm-hmm. And it's because of that, because the music had to sort of fit the fact that the stakes are now so much bigger, and the bad guy is literally so much bigger. The score got really big. I'd never felt that. I've never felt a score the way that I did in that movie, so top five easily.
Damn, you just I was hoping you would say something different so that I can like throw in a fucked up line in afterwards. If you just said you haven't heard something so big.
No, dude, don't give me hypothetical jokes. I'm not interested in those. That's like, if only you'd said this thing, I would have said that funny thing. That's
about,
not all we're into.
Fuck, now that movie just went out of my head.
Don't what about? Just give me some great scores.
I was just about to mention one. I forgot the film. As you were you were chuffing about, I was thinking of stuff.
You're appallingly unprepared for our topic. I am very disappointed.
I blame you though. You didn't suck my dick, and now I'm all off my game.
Same
and
joke over and over
again.
Give me a different one. Oh wait, you just do the same thing over and over again for everything.
I just had a fucking movie in my head. The score is brilliant, and now it just popped out of my fucking head. It's like, I fucking hate this. It's ridiculous. I'm losing gray matter.
Terrible.
As we're sitting here.
I was very impressed by, again, Hans Zimmer's score in Inception, especially the little bit of it that was in the trailer, where he walks her through the city, and he shows her that it's like a dream world. Mm-hmm. Remember the score?
Mm, yep.
It's being used. I don't know if you've seen the Jeep ad recently.
No,
but they're using a bit of the Inception score in the Jeep ad.
Are you talking about the cinema you're walking to the dream world, and then at the end of the preview he says you have to think bigger or something, and you get to see Bane shooting the fucking thing?
No.
Is that the preview?
No. Where the where half of the street sort of rises up.
Oh, okay.
But an amazing score again. Not one that I'd put top five necessarily, but an example of what a good composer Hans Zimmer is, I guess, always has been.
Mm-hmm.
The Hulk score, Danny Elfman's Hulk score, is my favorite one of his, and it was different to most of the others because I had sort of learned about Danny Elfman through Tim Burton movies.
Yep.
And Tim makes Tim movies.
Yeah.
They're sort of weird gothic type movies, and And I guess starting with Beetlejuice,
yeah,
that was the introduction for me to that kind of movie.
To Tim and...
That kind of movie and really that kind of music. It was like, this is exactly the music that goes with whatever with that, this guy's trying to create with his visuals and his storytelling. And from that moment, I've been a fan, and I thought he hit a high note with the Corpse Bride score, also because he wrote songs for it and sang on it.
Yeah.
But... my favorite is the very ethnic sounding score that he did for Hulk, and as I say, it's weird because it's so different to the stuff that you've become used to from him. And I can't even tell you, other than Hulk, because I paid attention to that score, and the Tim Burton movies, I couldn't tell you what else he's done, who else he's worked for.
Oh yeah, yeah. I was about to say the same thing. I'm trying to think of what other scores is he, and he's done lots. I mean, there's got to be a lot more.
He must have. I mean, they were good.
I mean, even his work in Big Fish, it's so subtle it almost creeps up on you, but it fucking fits the scene like that scene where Ewan McGregor's character sees the girl of his dreams in the tent, in the fucking, what do you call that, the circus, and he walks through, you know, the fucking shit, and he moves the shit around.
It's where everything's like hanging.
Yeah. Yeah,
time slows down.
Yep.
That thing.
Yeah.
I don't remember the music.
Dude.
I remember the scene. He like pushes the popcorn out of his way or something.
You're not aware of it, but it adds to it. And I've watched that thing fucking oodles of times.
What kind of music is it? I really don't remember.
I need to watch it again to remember what kind of music.
You can't even describe to me this sort of... Wow.
I wanted to watch the films again.
This is your favorite movie, the one you've seen?
No, it's my go-to. I wouldn't call it my favorite. Okay. I don't know why it just calms me or something.
God,
does it sound kind of gay or
so
something?
So gay. This is why he keeps threatening to suck my dick. Jesus.
And another good one would be... come on, think of something.
You realize I've done all the heavy lifting here.
No.
Give me one original thought on music and movies.
In the way of my fucking DVD.
Stop looking at your fucking DVD
it's
collection.
Helping me.
And just talk about music in movies.
Popular songs being used in certain TV stuff is also working really well. Like for me,
the microphone close to your mouth.
For me, like for instance, the songs used in Dawson's Creek. I remember more the songs than the actual show, because it worked.
Which songs?
Certain scene, like the first time he Dawson and Joey kisses, it's like they've got Kiss Me, Sixpence None the Richer playing.
Wow.
And things like that.
You know, for a man who claims to have an aversion to schmaltz in movies, you bringing up an awful lot of like...
But I'm pandering to the masses.
You were in denial. Now you're just like opening your heart to the flowers and the rainbows. I'm glad to see it, man.
Is it that just a little bit of sunshine thing come out again?
Apparently. I'm glad to see you've become a more honest person, really.
And then the movie Jeepers Creepers, you know, the use of the Louis Armstrong song right there.
That was fun.
Really good. That was funny. I liked it. Do you think, or can you remember that Die Hard has a score that works for the film? Because all I remember is the fucking vest getting really dirty throughout the film.
No. But I thought of, to get back to the how we started the topic, I thought of a few more songs that not define the movies, but that became...
Moment.
Yeah. Unchained Melody in Ghost.
Yeah.
Very much identified with the movie, you know, and clearly that scene, right? This is the whole pottery thing. That's exactly the song that was playing at the time, right?
You just got me thinking now of the time of my life. With the Patrick Swayze and
Dirty Dancing.
Yeah.
Similarly,
yeah.
A song that...
And it was fucking huge. I mean, that thing, that scene, that movie made that song also bigger. I think that song was just all over the place. And it's a good fucking song. I'm not saying it's crap.
I asked you once which of the... whether Eye of a Tiger works better for you in Rocky 3 or whether a Burning Heart in Rocky 4 works better for you, and I have a lot of love for Burning Heart. I don't know if it's because it's so obvious. I mean, it's like two nations fighting each other, and this man has to rise above, and like the song is so the moment. But it's not, I'll grant you that it's not as good a song as I Have the Tiger, yeah. But it feels more right to be in the context of the movie somehow. I don't know, I like Burning Heart.
But don't you just love the speech at the end?
It's awesome. You want to do it for us?
You know, you can do it. I mean, you've got the chops.
No, you brought up or something. Go on, act.
Something about it. If you can do it, I can. If I can do it, you can do it. Something
you're
like
a terrible
that.
Actor.
Yeah, I chopped it.
You're a terrible actor. That's chuffer. I'm cutting it out. So you prefer Eye of the Tiger, right?
Yeah. I mean, and it gets you going also, man. It's got you like it allows you to feel.
Do you think the Rocky 3 training montage is better than the 4 montage? I like 4. I like 4 a lot, dude.
I enjoy 4, dude. But it's not... But the thing with 4 and 3, right? They're both not as good as 1 and 2.
Of course not, but I mean...
They're fucking enjoyable films. The only one that's a total dud is 5.
I don't want to talk about 5. It doesn't really exist to me. Which training montage? Are we talking about montages?
4.
Okay. 3 has... 3 is crazy, dude, because now in 3... Apollo has to train him.
Yeah.
To
and they're wearing the
well, it's really
does
about.
Does it work for?
Yeah, sure. Nobody after having listened to the first whatever half an hour of this podcast, nobody's gonna believe that gay suddenly doesn't work for you. Here's what doesn't work.
I'm all about the pussy, man.
I keep talking. Here's what doesn't work. Apollo's supposed to teach him speed, right?
Yeah.
And Cole Weathers is a good athlete. And so is Sly, yeah. But he's no Carl Weathers. Yeah. He's no Action Jackson.
Yeah.
And the scene that really paces the montage is where they run on the beach.
Yeah.
And Apollo, of course, beats him in the beginning.
Yeah, and then...
And then eventually Sly, you know, runs away from him. Yeah. He pulls that face. Becomes a stroke victim. And the thing is, at the end of the montage, where Rocky runs away from Apollo... I can see Carl slow down.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I can see him hold back.
I was about to say that. Yeah.
Ruins it for me completely,
yep.
Dude.
Yep.
So that's why that Rocky 3 montage
and
like lets
I
me down.
I love the fact that you threw in, Action Jackson. Well done, sir.
Do you
may suck my cock.
Do you remember the Eye of the Tiger? Was Eye of the Tiger the music for the training montage? I don't think it
yeah.
was. Are you sure?
Yeah, it's for when he does in Rocky 1. When he does his fucking run.
No, man. I have a tiger was Rocky 3. What was it the training montage music in Rocky 3? Because I don't think it was. Burning Heart is the training montage music for 4.
Yeah.
But I think I have a tiger is in a different spot in Rocky 3.
Then what the
but
fuck?
But you don't know. When's the last time you watched these movies?
Ages.
Don't you have like a box set or something?
The box set. Gotta get it back.
I thought you would have like copied it by now or something.
No, I didn't do that.
I thought, okay.
Movies I love, I wanna own.
But you're a pirate. Could let that one sit quietly. Just let people judge it for a moment. I won't say anything. Too many jokes.
So how about Lucy Liu? She's 43 now. Still very fuckable.
But what's Lucy Liu been in?
I just want my dick in her. I don't care what she's been in.
But you don't know. What's the last thing she did?
There's something on TV called Dirty Sexy Money. She's playing like a feisty lawyer, fucked up chicky.
She wasn't a lawyer in Ally McBeal, was she?
Yeah, she was.
Was she?
Yep.
I thought she was like a...
No, she was a lawyer.
She was a flat out lawyer.
She was a lawyer.
Shit. Can you believe I haven't seen Ally McBeal since it was on TV?
I want to watch him again, but I don't want to own him. Isn't that weird?
I have to. We're gonna take a huh? Say.
I want to watch it again, but I don't want to own him.
Why not?
It's expensive, dude. I want $400 a season.
Okay, yeah. Well, series are always expensive. You really have to love something in order to buy.
Like
your house,
I will buy in Boston Legal. I will fucking buy, but not Ally McBeal. Maybe I don't know. I mean.
Yeah, you don't know. Still David Kelly, right?
Yeah. Because I've been like, I'm always like, that's the problem.
Who's Richard Kelly?
Some fag or something? I don't know.
Some what?
You said Richard Kelly. Yes.
Yeah, who's Richard Kelly?
Maybe some fag, I don't know.
That's horribly, it's just bad, dude.
Come on, you're all about the game, maybe some of your games.
Richard E. Kelly, is it Richard E. Kelly? Who's the guy that did Donnie Darko? Is that Richard E. Kelly?
I think that's Richard E. Kelly. I'm might be wrong.
I can't believe I don't remember that.
But whenever I'm in looking at TV series to buy, I'm stuck with choosing between those four.
Ally McBeal.
And I'm always more for Boston Legal, but it's expensive, like you said.
Ally McBeal did a really good job of using music.
Yeah,
songs. They would sing often in the bar.
Barry White stuff.
Like a lot of Barry White. Man. Yeah.
The baby dancing to Barry White. Remember that?
That was Ally McBeal. I have to say, is probably the best example of a TV series using music.
Fonda
Shepherd. From the Shepherd. I have. I don't have the Ally McBeal.
You still have it.
I did. I had the Ally McBeal soundtrack.
I remember.
Had a lot of Fonda Shepherd, if not all Fonda Shepherd, on it, and lost that somehow.
You seem to lose those things, CDs a lot. Like, what's up?
I've lost a few. But then I bought It's Good Eve, the Fonda Shepherd album, which has some of the songs that were on the Ally McBeal soundtrack and a few others. It's a good CD. It's an excellent CD.
I haven't seen
And I bought it for like $15 or something.
I haven't seen any of the stuff to buy anyway. I haven't even.
It was like in a musical bargain bin.
I should have
one of those.
Googled it or something.
I, of course, love the. The theme to the opening song to Firefly, the thing that Joss Whedon I think it's another guy that sings it, but it's sort of very country-ish.
Yeah, Joss Whedon wrote it, and to some people that's not a Western.
Yeah, to some people.
You clued me into this. I'm very shocked by it, but
yeah, okay. it's weird how
then maybe The Good, the Bad and the Ugly is a soapy, we don't know,
Or a German expressionist movie. Bet you I could write a thesis on how that's actually German expressionism instead of a spaghetti western.
Yeah, I
was listening to the, I don't know if I actually mentioned it on the podcast, but I was listening to some Dinner for Five stuff earlier today, and Colin Farrell was talking about how it always bothers him when he has to do scenes in a club, in a bar.
Scenes from a hat.
No. Scenes from a hat. You just reference. Who's lying?
Who's lying? Come on.
But whenever he has to do a scene in a bar or a club, they start the music and they start the people talking to kind of give you an idea of the level.
Okay.
And the feel.
Okay.
And then they cut it all because you have to have. Huh?
But and then you got to wing it.
No, but then they cut the sound, of course, and everybody's miming.
No, but I mean, but then he has to basically
yeah, speak as if he's speaking over noise, to an extent, because you don't want to shout. I mean, the dialogue, the dialogue you get from one of those scenes is never going to sound like the dialogue that you would actually have in a club.
Mm.
I mean, it's never at that extreme level. But just to give you a feel.
Mm.
So then everybody shuts down and they're miming and dancing around like fools to no music. And then you have to deliver your dialogue and then you get production sound.
Yeah.
But it's a little... It's a little off-putting for an actor. I mean, okay, they are actors. They have to create an imaginary world to some degree. But still, it's probably not ideal. But the benefit of it, of course, is that you get the actual sound that comes with the performance.
Yep.
And that's that's an invaluable thing.
Yeah, not I hate ADR shit. It's like
you say that right now, but here's the thing: ADR has levels. You can do it very well. You can do it very badly. The South African music industry seemed to have cornered the market on doing it badly. It is.
Oh, preach, brother, preach. It is
obvious. It
and
seems.
It's bad.
It seems like it is completely disassociated from the performance.
So it's a dubbed karate flick.
It's
from China.
Not even, dude, because those dudes, I kind of feel like even those English guys doing the dubbing over is still somehow feeling the character.
There's nothing.
But it's like the guy gave a performance on the screen and then we walked into the booth and read it off a piece of paper. And
phoned it in or something.
Pretty much, man. Yeah. Maybe that's literally what they did in some cases, I'm sure. And that bothers
me.
You're
right.
And then
it's
I found
bad. I hate it.
And then I found out that because John Favreau made, or Doug Liman then, they pretty much made Swingers on a Shoestring. And
yeah, fucking good movie.
And so they wouldn't be able, so they just walked into locations around Los Angeles and Vegas. They walked in with a camera. They had a 35mm, but it was a more compact camera, so it kind of looked like a 16.
Okay.
And they would just start filming.
Just shoot the motherfucker right there.
Right there. So you obviously can't get sound.
Yeah.
But you get instant production value because
was that ADR?
It's all ADR. Can you believe
that? No fucking way.
Can you believe that?
God,
what are we doing in South Africa, dude?
But those fucking scenes where they...
Yeah, it blows your mind, right?
No fucking way, dude.
It's true.
Fucking
so
hell.
So now I'm listening to this and I'm thinking, how is it possible that we fuck it up so badly?
Dude, look at our top singers. That would explain it all.
So yeah, anyway, I thought you'd be interested in that little fact.
Yeah, that was... But that was... I mean, I never knew that was ADR. Like, motherfuck.
It's never apparent.
It's not. No. I normally pick up on it at some point, and not at all.
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, it's ADR like a motherfucker with the spaghetti westerns, but...
Of course. I mean, there's no choice there.
Nobody spoke the same language. It's the town of Babel. What is it? Huh? Was that a town or a city?
Probably city.
I don't know. But it's fictional anyway, so what the fuck?
But was it? Totally sold that one. Okay, scores, music, songs. Give me something. I left out one of the great moments in cinema. From the guy who gave us Elizabethtown. The In Your Eyes
Crow, you mean?
The In Your Eyes moment in Say Anything. This is as iconic as they come. Right?
There was one movie I watched recently now.
That was a great movie, right?
Was it The Interview?
The determinism on Cusack's face when he holds up that boombox.
It's an interview by some actor.
It's a great piece of silent acting.
An interview of some actor where they asked him what's your favorite Cusack film, and he just put his hands above his head. As he's holding the jukebox, you know. So and the guy didn't get it. The interviewer, the guy.
Why would you ask a question like that if you?
He didn't get it, and he had to go like say anything. I was like exactly like why ask a question.
And okay, let's focus on Cameron for a moment because a guy that clearly is deeply in love with music.
Mm-hmm.
He made a movie, one of my favorite movies,
Almost Famous.
Before we get to Almost Famous, he made a movie in, I guess, the early 90s that was a time when I discovered grunge music.
I never discovered
and that. Loved grunge music, and it was all about Nirvana and Pearl Jam, and was way into Pearl Jam. And then Cameron Crowe made a movie set in Seattle at the time when that whole scene was happening. And not only that, he actually put Chris Cornell in the movie. I think Chris is on stage sometime. Yeah. I don't know if the rest of the Soundgarden guys, but definitely uses some of the Pearl Jam members as band members for what's the guy's name?
I remember you showing me that.
Matt Dillon as Matt Dillon's band.
Yeah, you showed me that.
It's a movie that I recorded.
But you had it on VHS.
On VHS, dude, and watched
you
the thing.
You played that motherfucker for me.
Killed that tape watching it. So the guy loves.
The thing was, you couldn't even fucking make out the film anymore the last time you played.
The guy loves music. And of course, Elizabethtown is a similar sort of thing, right?
Yeah.
A love letter to great
awesome
pop songs.
Awesome soundtrack, but ugh.
It just didn't work as a movie.
It's fucking Land of Bloom and the script.
And he again gave us, he gave us a lot, dude. He gave us Free Falling in Jerry Maguire.
Yep.
A great moment of a guy kind of just letting go of bullshit and kind of like free falling.
Yeah.
And really kind of one of the great warm fuzzy moments in cinema with the Tiny Dancer sing-along on the bus in Almost Famous.
Yeah.
Which is also about music.
Yep.
I think Almost Famous is largely autobiographical. Yep. So Cameron really loves music because he was the guy that would, when he was a kid, write for Rolling Stone or some version of that.
I'm producing.
What else has Cameron made? What are the other movies? Are they also about? They also include songs and in a
what else
serious way.
There's something else that
we bought a zoo. I haven't seen that yet, so I don't know if there's music in it.
There's Maddie in there, but I don't know if I want to.
I'm gonna watch it.
I will
watch it,
but not in the cinema.
It's a Cameron Crowe movie. It's out of the cinema, so you're not gonna be able to do that anyway. Tell you what, we have to go watch is Ted.
The bear.
Seth MacFarlane with it.
Yeah, Seth MacFarlane.
Bear, that kind of reminds me of you, dude.
Yeah.
Just a little bit less hairy.
Fuck. Oh, that was okay. I'll give you that. Well played, sir. Well done. Oh,
so
man.
What else is coming down?
I'm thinking. I was about to ask you about a film that I think I was wondering if you think it's good, the score is good, or is the songs that you're using is good. But now it's gone out of my fucking head.
Wow.
Am I going
just been like
is something
a whole bit of telling me that you've forgotten what you wanted to say.
Am I getting older? What's going on? I'm cold all the time these days, and like, what the fuck?
Does your hip, does the cold weather hurt your hip?
Not that bad yet.
Did you get that reference, or did it go over your head? Did you get the reference? Cold weather hurts my hip? You don't remember that from Friends? Chandler Bing, when he joins the ad agency or whatever, and it's all these young kids, and he fell because he was trying out some of those, it was like roller skates or something, that was the product.
Yeah, the product, right.
And so he had to walk with the cane, and then the people look at him, and he's like, the cold weather hurts my hip because he's feeling old. I can't believe you forgot that one.
I forgot that one.
Normally you're like,
I haven't watched those fucking things in ages.
All over a Friends reference. Friends is actually the program that, when I sent you the message about listening to Lionel Richie, it's because there's a scene in one of the... I think it was after Janice and Chandler break up. One of the many times they did that.
I was about to say which one.
He's sitting there and he's singing Endless Love. Or he's got earphones on and he's singing along to it. And then Phoebe walks in.
Don't they unplug the fucking thing or something?
No, man. Phoebe walks in. Like, Chandler's sitting there holding the LP cover.
Yeah.
And he's singing along, and then Phoebe walks in and doesn't say anything. She just sits next to him and starts singing
along
the Diana Ross bit, I guess.
Yeah, that's fucking cool scene.
That's good, pretty cool. So that kind of like got me onto Lionel Richie.
Whenever I think back on Friends, it's like my favorite Joey moment.
What's your favorite?
Girls of Food.
Girls on Bed.
He's like conflicted, like, oh my god.
Sex. No food. No sex. No food. I got this. I don't want girls on bread. Pretty funny, man.
Isn't sandwiches his favorite food?
Nah,
they did the questionnaire thing where they were like, and he said like sandwiches is his favorite food.
Kevin Smith hates Friends for some reason.
What the fuck's wrong with that fat fuck?
I don't know, but he hates Friends.
Oh my god, he's secretly pissed off that he didn't write.
I know he also doesn't like The West Wing.
You said, I think that's like, that is...
Yeah. I think it was on some commentary track and Ben
that's
Affleck...
That's erroneous. He's lying, man. That's bullshit.
Affleck was talking about how much he likes The West Wing because, I guess, it's politics.
He
and
said
Affleck
to
is
piss off Affleck.
No, I think he was sincere about it. I just don't think it's his bag.
He needs to remove the butt plug and watch it again.
You should watch The Newsroom, the new Sorkin thing. There's a lot wrong with it, but like any Sorkin thing, there's a lot right with it.
Yeah.
So it's definitely worth watching.
Have you seen Eyes of Mars March yet?
No.
I same here. It's like, what the fuck, man?
Snyder used music well in Watchmen. He actually used the songs.
Yep.
Like we said, there's the Nat King Cole song. There is the Bob Dylan song to start it off. And then there's the very jarring introduction of All Along the Watchtower when Archie's flying to Ozzy's, like, whatever his little Fortress of Solitude thing is called.
Yeah.
Great introductions of songs, and he also used a lot of rock songs in the trailers, and he does that. He used the Nine Inch Nails song in the 300 trailer, but then what he would do there, and he did it for the Isles of Ga'Hoole as well, for the Legend of the Guardians movie. Mm-hmm. He had a 30 Seconds from Mars song in the trailer, and it's rock, and it's that kind of rock that kind of gets you. It's good music for fighting. Sort of sets the mood, uses it in the trailers, and then takes it out completely for the movies, and it's all score in the actual movies, except for the Watchmen example, where he actually put in the songs.
Mm-hmm.
So that was an interesting choice to me. I don't know why. Of course, the music in the Watchmen movie was appropriate to the time, I guess.
A scene with a fight scene with the music and everything just gets you going. Blade One.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
That
the bloodbath scene.
Bloodbath scene, fucking hell, dude.
It's the only time we ever got down to techno.
Yeah, and we're not into that, and we were like both like, oh my god,
great,
man,
dude.
I was like, I was wishing I had a guitar and just go crazy in the cinema at that moment.
It's the only time I've ever felt like doing E, and grabbing a katana and just
go crazy,
killing people.
But I think you're lying about doing E. But you wanted to do it. Other times, I'm sure.
I honestly haven't.
Really?
Guy tried to give me some once, but yeah, you don't take drugs.
Stuff that you don't know what's in there. Yeah,
strangers.
That's our policy, though, isn't it?
Pretty much.
Cigarette.
But that's
cigarette is fine.
Yeah, for the most part.
had no effect on somebody I know.
But that was a very good example of music that accompanied a fight scene that was really good.
Mm.
Must be others.
I'm thinking now.
What do you make of Zack's use of the songs, though? Like I said, he uses them for trailers and takes them out, yeah, and then just put them in Watchmen.
I think that's... like I've said before, I don't watch a lot of trailers as you do. But I think that's kind of cool. It gives a different slant to it when you're watching the preview and the trailer. And like I've told you before, I tend to not want to watch, to see a lot before I watch a film. And that will make it... I think that would actually work for me a lot more, where it's a different sound to it, so you get a different reaction to it when you're watching it in a film.
I've got a good one for you. A Knight's Tale. The scene where they are dancing. Where it starts off all... You don't remember that?
I don't like that film.
It starts off... Yeah, but you've seen it.
Once.
Okay, let's see if you remember this then. They are... It's the thing where the princess or whatever she is, who sends her chicky lady in waiting or whatever you... What do you call them?
A minion. I don't know.
Minion. That sounds so...
Oompa Loompa.
Okay. She sends her servant.
There we go.
To ask him what he's wearing so she can match up her clothes, whatever. And then they go to this dance and it's that medieval thing.
Okay.
And it starts off all, you know, they're playing lutes and medieval type yeah, instruments. And it sounds like the sort of music...
A period piece.
Yeah. And then it gets funky. And not only does the music get funky, it kind of becomes sort of pop rocky.
I remember that.
But the dancing...
Is still...
No, the dance... They start dancing like they're in the club.
Yeah.
They
kind of...
It's awesome.
Yeah.
It's a great moment.
Another one, Fifth Element.
The opera. Do you agree with what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. So Knight's Tale was an old bullshit because it had a very cool moment where the music changed up on you in a way that you weren't expecting and kind of worked, dude. I've seen people try that. I've seen people try and be anachronistic, and it's kind of like a, you know, we're going to be a little bit clever here.
Mm.
And it hasn't worked as well as it worked in that movie, which you apparently don't like.
And Fifth Element.
But that I really can't fault. What was wrong with the Knight's Tale?
I can't remember. I just didn't...
A few very funny performances from Paul Bettany.
Bits I like.
He was one.
I just walked away feeling like, nah, I don't know.
Yeah, but you said you didn't like it. What was to dislike about it?
I can't put my finger on it. I just afterwards was like, man, this is not for me. And I never went and watched it again. Ever.
You should watch it again. That movie's not bad.
Probably should. But what do you agree about the Fifth Element scene where the opera chicky is starting to sing the opera and then it gets into being a funky groove? Like a club.
It wasn't that funky. I mean, it was kind of...
It's funny. It's pretty goofy.
It was very goofy, right, dude, because it doesn't...
For the film, it works in the film. It got me cracking.
Yeah, it works in the film, but that's because that whole mood of that film was a sort of...
Tongue-in-cheek thing?
No. It was a high-budget sci-fi movie that was very clearly not influenced by... it didn't have the American influence.
Yep.
It really felt like... Europeans making a high-budget sci-fi movie. And so the opera kind of felt right.
Yeah.
And even when it got all...
Funky.
Whatever at the end, I refuse to call it funky. You can if you want. But it still felt like, okay, this is the Europeans' idea of cool.
Yeah.
give me a Knight's Tale, rather. But it was a very cool scene. I mean, it was...
To take out
a moment to just focus on a blue alien singing opera was pretty cool.
Yeah.
So I liked it a lot.
I liked it. Oh, you liked it a lot.
I like the whole movie.
Same, yeah. I own it. I love it.
Great performance, of course, by...
Chris Tucker.
Chris Tucker is that...
Blood! Oh, no, what does he say? Kobe. Kobe, my man. Kobe, my man.
Coben.
Yeah.
Here's a weird thing. South African ads. I've seen two characters from two... And I'm going to say fairly... I'm going to call The Fifth Element, even though it's a well-liked and well-regarded movie, I'm going to say it's fairly obscure. I mean, you're not going to find many kids today who know Fifth Element. And yet I've seen an ad with a character that is clearly derived from Chris Tucker's character in The Fifth Element. He has the same get-up. He talks in the same way.
Oh, my word.
Bizarre. But there it was. And then the Cell C ads. There's a character that's flat-out Pootie Tang.
Yeah.
Why would Cell C create an ad campaign and use as the main character...
From Pootie Tang.
Pootie Tang. That's a weird pull, dude. So yeah, I'm surprised. Yeah. Somebody in ad agencies in South Africa are watching some good crazy movies, and they are able to convince companies that no, this is a good idea. We're gonna use Pretty Tank to sell cell phones. It'll work.
Unlike some people, you put the big spider in the phone, it will get made. And it did.
That film did get made. It was Wild Wild West.
And then Wiki Wiki Wild. The song was used for Will Smith, but the film just fell flat on its
head. I like that song. I like all Will Smith songs.
Yeah.
Is there honestly a Will Smith song that you don't like?
None that I can think of. No.
Because he makes those... He's still making...
fun grooves.
What's it? Boom, boom, shake, shake the room.
Boom, yeah.
He's kind of still making Switch. That.
It's the most recent one.
He's been making the same song over and over again, but it sounds different every time, and it's fun. It's like fun hip-hop.
Yeah.
Will Smith gets like no respect from Lil Wayne and the Young Money people, but I mean, fuck him.
Fuck him. But Lil Wayne, what's the other fucker's name? It sucks.
There is room for Will Smith in hip-hop.
Yep.
And there always should be, I feel.
And Will is an actor?
Well, he had an obvious highlight with, as we've said before, with Ali and really Never Again.
Same as well. That's what I'm asking. I haven't seen anything from him that... Lately, that's after that. And I want to see. Oh, well, you know what? I want to see more of is Tom Cruise doing stuff like he did with that Michael Mann film.
Yeah, I showed you the trailer for. Did I? No, I told you not. I told you not even. Did you watch it?
I watched it. It's fucking.
What
horrible.
Is the guy called?
Reacher. Jack Reacher's got. There's no elements of the. Or the novel character in there at fucking all.
Never mind that. I could give a fuck about staying faithful to source material that especially I don't know. It was a boring trailer.
Same here. It didn't make me want to watch it at all. But the source material, if they at least use some of it, it would be a fucking awesome film. And they're clearly not. Other than the fucking name and the guy's apparently badass. That's about it. That they took from the book. From the books, which to me is just like, then why the fuck bother calling it Jack Reacher? Use some other fucking name. But they're obviously hoping to get the following, the people who love the books, to go to the cinema. You know, extra bank.
What's the most unusual music you've ever heard in a movie?
You don't remember, although I said, and I clearly remember you saying you think it works really well in the film, but you say you don't remember it. Is We Were Soldiers. It's a South African band who did the music. I don't know what the fuck it's called, but it sounds weird. It sounds like a mixture between Aboriginal music and something else. And it's where the helicopters come into the
it's
LZ.
It's just like ethnic sounding stuff. Yeah. Man. Like, I'm talking really weird.
To me, that was weird. I'm like, nah, I don't fit the scene.
I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about just looking at the music. Strange music. Things that sound ethnic aren't weird. You hear them a lot.
Oh, okay.
Whether or not it's a mix of South African and Aboriginal, it's all natives.
They all look alike.
They all look alike to me. Like, truly weird music. Have you ever heard
of it? Are we going to be hung up by our balls or something at some point? Slaughtered and recorded? Or recorded and slaughtered? Am I well?
Quartering somebody is pretty damn gruesome, man. Do you know what it means to break somebody on the wheel?
No.
You've heard, I mean, obviously you've heard the expression many times, but you know what it actually means?
What does it mean?
Where they do take a big wheel and then they weave your limbs through the spokes. Our limbs aren't designed to weave.
Yeah, I was about to say, fuck no.
Can you imagine? And they just leave you there.
Keel hold. That's also pretty horrible.
I would imagine so.
I've back in the
do
day
you remember the a movie that seems like it could have done with some strange music is the last or the third Pirates of the Caribbean movie.
I agree.
Just because it was so Terry Gilliam and a movie that did have weird music is 12 Monkeys. 12 Monkeys had a very bizarre little score section for I guess mostly for Brad Pitt's
fucking
it would introduce this sort of this is a crazy upside down bizarro world little theme but it was what is that music
I can't remember but it was weird
right? But it's like I'm watching a Terry Gilliam movie
Dark City
let's don't jump all over the place what was the music that was in at World's End. Do you remember it?
I know, I can't remember. And I haven't watched it.
Would it have been weird? I mean, I'm saying it would have fit, but would it maybe have been weird to have music, considering that you had such a charismatic dude on screen anyway? I guess what I'm asking is, does Johnny Depp, being Jack Sparrow, really need much of a score?
Nope.
Would it benefit from a score? Most things could benefit from a good score.
Yeah, I think, I mean, that's one of the things that, like I said, when I mentioned, I can talk about some bad stuff, but...
Okay. We'll get back to what was it that you mentioned before? Your little jump that you made there? Your little quantum leap that I pulled you back from?
What was that?
It's so terrible. I can't wait for the monkey to get here.
Enough with the fucking monkey. You can't give your cock.
Stop saying things like you're reading it off a piece of paper.
I'm a retard.
Make it come to life, man. Jesus.
What are you looking
Where's
for?
Where's the thing? Full of. Fell off a while ago. Didn't you hear the wood hit the floor? It's like a good 10 inches.
I like somebody who's got 17 inches.
If you had to make a movie, who would you get to score it? Now we're kind of like, I'm sort of not giving you any parameters for the movie. So
giving me nothing.
Invent one. Whatever, the favorite. Okay, what sort of movie would you make right now if I told you make a movie? And this is kind of the last question because we're running.
It must involve something with
just over an
something
hour.
Something with Guinness. And
you don't know.
I don't know.
Do you know anything?
No, clearly not tonight.
All right. All right. Here's where I draw the line. You can fuck off. I'm gonna go fetch Marcel. The Capuchin. And we'll come back next week with a better show. So that's it, everybody. See you next time. Come on. Ha. Sicker than your average. Pop a twist cabbage off instinct. Niggas don't think shit stink. Pink Gators. My Detroit players. Tim's for my hooligans in Brooklyn. That's dead right. If the head right. Biggie there. And I. Papa been school since days of under rules. Never lose. Never choose to. Bruce Cruz who. Do something to us. Come on. Talk go through us. Girls want to us. Wanna do us.